John chapter number 11. Where is Brother Chad? Did he move on? There he is. Brother, I hate to take your class away from you. Did you volunteer or did the pastor give orders? Never mind. But I taught a class last week. We were in, where were we, honey? Illinois. Yeah, Clinton, Illinois. And I taught a class for couples. And the teacher, you know, I could tell he was letting me have the class, but his pastor had ordered him to give up his class. And I think he was a little reluctant. No, he didn't really have any negative feelings, but I always feel a little bad because I know I used to teach an adult class in Kentucky every week, and how I prayed and prepared, and boy, I put so much into it. And then once in a while, the pastor would say, "Now we're going to have a missionary take the class today," and I was glad to do it. I'm going to follow the pastor, but I hope you don't mind, Brother Chad. Don't get mad at me. But we're in John chapter number 11, and I have brought a lesson here a few years ago in Sunday school. I keep a record of what I teach and preach. I can't trust my memory, that's for sure. As a matter of fact, I walked in today not absolutely sure I was teaching this class. I believe Brother Ross said teach the adult class, but I wasn't positive. And so I found out when you came up here and introduced me, I found out I'm teaching. But I was ready. I had something loaded and ready to go. But I taught here a few years ago on wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Now, do we have the teenagers in here? I see some young people. The teenagers are not in here. You're not a teenager? How old are you? Okay, but you're still a teenager. I thought if she's sitting there, if she's 30 years old, and I'm thinking she's a teenager, did I ever make her day? But anyway, you are 18. But I remember, I believe we might have had the teenagers in there that day. Wait on the Lord. And I taught about that. Wait on the Lord for the right mate. And wait on the Lord for promotion. Let God promote you. Don't promote yourself. Don't go through life trying to exalt yourself and put yourself on a higher plane. Put yourself in a higher position. Let God do that. Let God do that. Wait on God for provision. Wait on the Lord to provide. So many times we have a financial need. What do? Go straight for the credit card. We do. Or we head for the bank instead of waiting on God to provide for that need. Now, it might be necessary sometimes to go to the bank, get a loan. But I'll tell you, many times God wants to meet a need, but we're not waiting on Him. You know, in the physical realm, we begin to get sick. What's the first thing we do? We either head for the doctor, head for the medicine cabinet, head for the pills, get a headache. What's the first thing we do? Head for the Tylenol. We don't even give God a chance to heal us. Did you ever think about that? We ought to at least give Him a chance. Now, I prayed many a prayer, Lord, take away this headache, and He didn't do it. And I went for the Tylenol. But you know, there have been a few times that He did take it away. And we ought to just ask Him and wait on the Lord. Give God a chance. And I taught on that. But today, I want to turn that around and teach a lesson, God waiting on us. God waiting on us. Do you believe God does that? I do. I believe God's waiting on us. And here's an example, John chapter 11. You know this story of Lazarus. He's in the tomb. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus comes, and He walks up to the tomb, and He's going to bring Lazarus out of that tomb. He's going to raise him from the dead, which will be a mighty miracle that will cause many to believe on the Lord. And we find in John 11 and verse number 39, if you're looking at verse number 39 right now, say amen. All right. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto Him, "Lord, By this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and we all know the rest of the story. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth! And he came up out of that tomb, came up wrapped in grave clothes. He said, Loose him and let him go. And somebody wisely said, if he had not said, Lazarus, come forth, if he just stood at a graveyard and said, come forth, everybody may have come forth. But what a miracle that was. But I want you to notice something, that just for a small span of time, here stands Jesus, who is God. Somebody say amen. Jesus is God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. These three are one, 1 John 5:7. And Jesus is God. He's the Almighty God. He's the Creator, the Bible tells us in different places. Here stands God, and he's waiting on man to move that stone. He's waiting on men to roll that stone out of the way. Now, after they do what is humanly possible, then Jesus is about to do the impossible. He's going to raise the dead. But here for a moment, you find God waiting on man. Now, I'll show you another place where God is waiting on man. And actually, we won't turn there. But you know the story about when Jesus turned the water into wine in John chapter 2. He turned the water into wine. And of course, my friend, that was not alcoholic wine. Somebody give me an amen there. I mean, I just read in my Bible this morning, wine is a mocker. Proverbs 20, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I just read that today. Wine is a mocker. So, of course, it's talking about alcoholic wine. When you read wine in the Bible, you got to remember there is no word for grape juice. And so you've got to determine by the context if it's alcoholic or non-alcoholic. And here, without a doubt, the Lord Jesus Christ made the purest, sweetest, most delicious grape juice that man had ever tasted. And they said, Whoa, where did this come from? Most people set this out at first, but this, you've saved the best till last. And Jesus turned that water into wine. But do you remember what he did before that? He told the servants, he said, fill the water pots with water. And then there for a moment of time, Jesus, the Son of God and God the Son, is standing there waiting on man. He's waiting on them to do what is humanly possible. That's something they can do. And then God is about to do something that only God can do. And then turn with me, we're in the neighborhood, John chapter 21. John chapter number 21. I just realized we didn't have prayer. We didn't have prayer. Let's bow our heads right now for just a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for this time that you've allowed me to stand here and teach these dear people something out of your word. And I'm sure, Lord, there are many out there who already know this. But Lord, I find in my life that many times I need something to be reinforced. I may have heard it, I may have learned it, but sometimes I need to relearn it. And sometimes I just need to be reminded. And there may be those who hear this for the first time. But I pray, Lord, right now that you would give me the mind of Christ and fill me with the Spirit of God and speak through me in this Sunday school hour. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 21. I love John 21. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And here Jesus is about to work a miracle. The disciples have been out all night long. They caught absolutely nothing. These are professional fishermen. And all night they did not catch anything. And in the morning there's a man standing on the bank. And Jesus showed up. The Bible says in John 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus shows up. You know, my friend, wonderful things happen when Jesus shows up. Let me ask you something. Did you pray? Did you specifically pray either last night or this morning for Jesus to show up in our service today? Did you pray? I know some of you did, but some of you didn't. Some of you just take it for granted that the Lord's going to be there and the Lord's going to do His part. But you know what? The Lord loves to be invited. He loves to be invited, and I believe He loves it when we call out to Him and say, Lord, we need You. We need Your presence. We need You to show up in our service today, Lord, and do what only You can do. So Jesus shows up, and He says, children, have you any meat? And they said, no. And He says in verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now they're sitting there in that boat, and you know, it looks like they're not really sure that's Jesus. After the miracle, John says it's the Lord. And Peter jumps in the water and swims to Him. But right now, I'm not sure they all know that that's the Lord, but He does have a voice of authority. There's something about that voice that sounds familiar. And they take those nets, and it was not an easy task. Those things were heavy. And they cast them over on the right side. And then Jesus works a miracle. He knew where the fish were. He knew how to direct those fish right into the net. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. A multitude of fish in the net. But I want you to notice that they had to do what Jesus told them to do, and then He worked the miracle. If they had not done that, you think He would have filled the net anyway? I don't believe He would. If they had not been obedient, if they had not done what a man, what a human being can do, then Jesus would not have performed that miracle. God waiting on man. These little children walking across here today, these little children singing, be careful little eyes. And boy, do you ever think what their eyes see? What their eyes behold in a week between Sundays coming here? What do they see on their television? What do they see on movies? What do they see in public schools? What do they see in magazines? And what do they see on phones now that are coming to iPhones? What do those little eyes see? And thank God they can come to a place where somebody loves them and says, be careful what you see. But you know what? Somebody, and God's going to save them. God is going to bless them. God can change their lives and change their homes. But somebody has got to get out there and crank that bus and get on that bus and run that bus. And somebody's got to work on that bus. And somebody has got to be the driver. And somebody's got to be on there singing with those kids. And somebody's got to get out on Saturday and visit those homes. And then when we do that, God works the miracle. God does the saving and God does the changing, and they are an inroad then into their homes. That's how we can get through them into their homes and reach mom and dad. And that's the ultimate goal, reach the whole family. But we need to do what we can do. God waiting on man. Let me just show you very quickly a few places, a few areas in life where God is waiting on us. God says, I'll do this, but you need to do this. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. You know what? I hear a few amens even in Sunday school. Most of the time people don't say amen in Sunday school. They don't do it. But I appreciate a good amen anytime. Proverbs chapter number 3. And this is so familiar that many of you have it memorized. I don't doubt that a bit. And if you don't have it memorized, you should. You should memorize Proverbs chapter 3. Really, the first 10 verses would be good to memorize. But I'm looking today at verse 5 and verse 6, where the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now we see here three things that God tells us to do. And then the fourth thing that only God can do. Only God can direct our paths. Only God can direct us in the right path, the right way to go, the right decision to make, because only God knows the future. We don't even know what will happen in the next 5 minutes. We don't. And God knows what will happen in the next 1,000 years, the next 1,000,000 years. God sees it all. He sees over the hill. He sees around the bend. He sees next week. He sees next month and next year. God sees it all. And God has a plan. God has a plan for our lives, and He has a path that He wants us to take. But He says, in order for me to direct your path, here's what you need to do. You need to trust in me. Now, you'll hear more about that in the morning service. I hope everybody's staying for church. Is everybody staying for church today? Did you ever see somebody come to Sunday school and leave for church? I've seen that. They leave before church. But you'll hear more about that. The Lord says, trust in me with all your heart. And you will hear more about this matter of trust. You know, in order to trust the Lord, we have to let some things go. In order to trust in the Lord, we have to stop trusting in ourselves. In order to fully trust in the Lord, we have to realize the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. In order to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then He says, lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's a hard one. We all want to lean to our own understanding. And we all want to base our decision on what has happened in the past and lean on that, our own understanding. I find myself praying, Lord, help me not. Help me not to lean to my own understanding, Lord. Please help me not to do that. I'm so prone to do that. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Let me ask you today, did you ask God this morning what you should wear? I'm going to be honest, I didn't. Because we travel, my wife only brought this outfit. I didn't have any choice. But you know, I heard many years ago, I heard Brother Hiles say, you know, he said, I stand in front of the closet and say, Lord, what should I wear? And he said, I get in the car and get ready to go to church. I could go 3 different ways. And I say, Lord, which way, which road should I take? Which street should I take to church this morning? I thought, boy, that makes sense. That makes spiritual sense. Said he got to church one day, though, and a deacon said, don't blame that outfit on God. But in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Think about the Lord. I mean, even in the little decisions, we ought to say, Lord, show me what to do. I always pray about the big decisions, but in everything, we ought to acknowledge the Lord. And God says, if you'll trust in me with all your heart, and if you won't lean to your own understanding, and if you'll acknowledge me in all of your ways, God says, I will direct your path. And I am so thankful. I look back over my life now, and I see where God directed my path. God led me. God led me to marry that lady right there, and I'm so glad. We've been married 41 years. 41 years, and we're still celebrating. Our anniversary was last month in June, but we don't just celebrate on the 18th, the day we got married. We celebrate the whole month. And I tell you, with a wife like that, I ought to celebrate the whole year. I thank God. And then God led me to a place called Sugar Grove Baptist Church. I know that He did. I went there discouraged. I went there licking my wounds. I went there out of a church split. I was wounded. I had a wounded spirit. And I went to Sugar Grove Baptist Church. And I'm telling you, God, I just sat under Brother Eddie Calloway and fed on his preaching and his teaching and the spirit of that place. And God lifted me up. And I spent over 20 years there serving God. And I know God led me there. Then God led us to Iowa. Now I'll tell you, that's unbelievable. I'm a Kentuckian. I love the hills of Kentucky. And we moved to the flatlands of Iowa, the cornfields of Iowa, the hogs of Iowa. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Our neighbor raises hogs. And I fervently prayed, Lord, keep that smell away from our house, please. I fervently prayed that. And you know what? He does. Every once in a while we get a whiff, maybe just to remind us, pray again, pray again. But we moved to Iowa, but I know God led me. I know God led me. There's no doubt about it. My daughter married the pastor there. His son, Joseph Brown, our pastor was Larry Brown. And I know he's preached here. And he's got a son named Joseph, and he's our pastor now. And my daughter's the pastor's wife. And my son Sam said he knows he would not be preaching and be where he is today had it not been for that move. And I just know God did it. And God, so many times after we made that move, my wife and I, we were still raising our family, and my wife and I would hear Brother Brown say something, we'd just look at each other. Just like, that's why we came. That's why God moved us. God wanted us to hear that. And God has blessed us there, and he's still blessing us there. We live in an old farmhouse there. We live on a farm. We don't have to take care of the cows and the sheep. We can look out and see them and let the grandkids see them, but we don't have to take care of them. We just rent the house. And we love that place. It's a little paradise for us. I know God led us so many other ways. I know God led me to preach, called me to preach. And there's just nothing like the leadership of God. And you know what? It's not always easy. There may be some dark times. There may be some dark threads woven in with the will of God. But there's nothing like being in God's will. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray. My hopes may fade away. But still, I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all on him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift and plain it all he'll make. Though dark to me, he made not one mistake. And let's just trust in the Lord, and that's our part, and God will direct our path. Here's another way we ought to, there's something for us to do. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Ooh, I love to hear those pages turning. I believe God loves to hear those pages turning. I believe God, if your Bible could talk, it would say, oh, do more of that. That feels good. Turn my pages and read my pages. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. By the way, look at verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. And we have a part and God has a part. We have a part that a human being can do. And God has a part that only God can do. And we need to be laborers together. You know what? The work won't be done. Those little children, they wouldn't have been sitting there today. And they wouldn't be in classes today learning about Jesus, the mighty to save, if it was not for somebody, several somebodies in this church doing your part. And now God's doing his part. We are laborers together with God. What I want you to notice, though, is where the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. In this matter of sowing the seed of the word of God, I want to remind you that 2 Corinthians 9:16 says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. You know what? Think about that. Think about that concerning gospel tracts. How many gospel tracts have you handed out this week? We travel a lot and have a lot of opportunities. And this is my favorite tract right here. This Was Your Life, a Chick tract. Now, that, if you that are unfamiliar with Chick tract, this is not a tract for girls. A Chick tract. It was written by Jack Chick, who's in heaven now. He was in California, and he wrote these Chick tracts, and they are amazing. Unloved, that is an incredible tract right there. Something in Common, that is an incredible tract. Holy Job, the one written for soldiers. Boy, I like to keep those on hand. Every time I see a soldier, thank him for serving the country and put Holy Joe in his hand. But I love to hand these out. We try to hand them out all along the way and just sow the seed. Sow the seed. This is our church tract, one of them. There Is Hope, a good tract. And we just try to sow the seed. My friend, it's incorruptible seed. It's incorruptible seed. And it brings forth fruit. And the more we sow, the more we go. How many of you, don't raise a hand, but don't raise a hand now. I don't want anybody to feel like they're bragging on themselves, and I don't want to embarrass anybody today, but how many of you knocked on somebody's door this week and told them about Jesus or tried to tell them about Jesus? How many of you knocked on somebody's door to give at least get a gospel tract into their hand? Did you do that? You say, well, I don't think I'm made for that. I don't think I'm designed to do that. I can't talk to strangers. I can't talk to strangers. I've said this so many times. If all you could do is knock on a door and somebody opens that door, that's the fearful thing, I guess, the unknown. Who's behind that door? Who's behind that door? Well, you know what? I've been knocking on doors for 40 years. And I've met very, very few mean people behind those doors. I've met multitudes of broken people. I've met multitudes of lost people, bewildered people. You can see it on their faces. You can see it in their eyes. That life is a struggle. And you know what? That doesn't mean they all get saved. That doesn't mean that they all... right then and there on that first visit will repent and trust Jesus as their Savior. That doesn't mean they all get saved. But you know what? Some do. Some do. And it may be on the second visit or the third visit or the tenth visit. And it may not be your visit at all. You may just be the one plowing the ground for somebody else to come along and sow some seed. You may be the one watering some seed that's already been planted. But my friend, I'm a firm believer knocking on doors. If all you could do is just when they open that door say, I'm from the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you might say it the first time with fear and trembling. I'm from the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I'd like to give you something to read. And we'd love to have you come to our church. And you might turn away and run away from the door. I don't know. You're so scared. But you know what? The next time it won't be so hard. I promise you. Now, Brother Larry Brown, you know, he's one of a kind. He said, knock on the door. If you don't know what to say, knock on the door. And when they open the door, just stand there and go. He said, by the time you get to the next door, you'll think of something to say. But let me give you a challenge, all right? Let me give you a challenge. Become a door knocker for the Lord. That's not popular today, even in our independent Baptist churches. But I know this, you got a pastor who knocks on doors. And he's not just saying, you go, he's going. Follow me as I follow Christ, amen. But sow the seed. And you know what? That's our part, to sow the seed. Get out the gospel. Only God can save a soul. Only Jesus saves. But a man called Bobby Robertson, he was trying to get a church going in an area. And he called Brother Bobby. He was related to Brother Bobby. And he said, Brother Bobby, he said, we've knocked on every door in this area. Every door, we've knocked on every door. We don't have one person that's coming to church. You know what that wise man of God, Brother Bobby Robertson, said? He said, brother, he said, keep on knocking. He said, keep on sowing the seed. It's got to come up. Keep sowing the seed. It's got to come up. Hey, how many of you planted a garden this spring or summer? You planted a garden. We don't have any gardeners here today, but a few. Did your seed come up? It's coming up. Now, my father-in-law planted, he's had strokes, and he planted a garden in a tractor tire. The whole thing's about this big around. He put corn, beans, potatoes, okra, squash, watermelon. Now, his watermelon came up. It's the size of a tennis ball. But it's got to come up. And you know what, my friend? Hey, get you some tracts and hand them out. Every time you mail a bill, put a tract in there and mail it off. Somebody's going to open that and get the gospel. Hand them out every chance you get. Ask God for opportunity. Sow the seed. Sow the seed. It's got to come up. And that's our part. And then my time's up today. My time's really up, so I'm going to have to close. The last one is, I'll just give you the idea. America is going down. America's going down. They said before the Titanic sank, you know, it was floating in the water. And before it sank, it turned up like, like this. Those in the lifeboats said that it went like this, and then it went down. I think America's like this. I think we've turned up, and we're just about to go down. And you know what the cure is? The cure is for God to heal the land. But he said, if my people called by my name will pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin. And God said, I'll heal the land. Only God can take us from this and put us afloat again. Only God can do that, my friend. Well, let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for Sunday school. And Lord, I feel like you met with us. I felt your presence, and I thank you for that. And I pray, dear Lord, that now you'd go with us into the morning service. And I pray that you'd meet with us in a wonderful way. Lord Jesus, show up today. Fill the net. Do what only God can do. In Jesus' name, amen.